essence personified, and I will drag you down and sell you out. Run away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Unscripted Wrestling. It's beautiful to have everybody here with us. We are doing our third rivalry retrospective on Dean Malenko and Chris Jericho. We got a lot to get into, but first, I'm your humble, gracious, and sexy host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my co-host, my brother, good guy, Doug.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
I think they're good. And we're also here with Stevie. How you doing, Stevie?
Good, how are you?
By the way, let's give Stevie a plug. Coming up pretty soon, we have a new, you got a new podcast coming, the Figure Four podcast. Can you give the people a date yet, or?
Well, it's coming in January.
Okay.
So January 11th, it's going to be the Figure Four podcast.
Sweet. So everybody stay tuned for that. It's going to be Stevie's deal. Should be a fun time,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, it should be a great time. Looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. So make sure to check that out when it comes. And also, the Wrestling Fan Club Facebook page is where he's putting all the updates. So make sure to follow that page. Make sure to keep following us in Old School Wrestling. Make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Friday after AEW Dynamite and Friday Night SmackDown, respectively. Also, make sure to check us out on Fridays at 6:30 for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Hopefully you're here with us right now. If not, you're kind of a dick. Make sure to check us out tomorrow for Unscripted Unlimited, our second show, where we're going to be talking about the last UFC event with Derek Lewis and Ciryl Gane. We'll also be talking about the new Suicide Squad movie. So we got a lot of good stuff coming. And, of course, at 3 p.m. on Sundays, we have Scaredy Cats with me and my wonderful sister, Mindy. And we're going to be talking about R.L. Stine's Fear Street series, parts 1 through 3. So a lot of good content coming up. Make sure to check it out. Before we get into all that, though, and check us out. September 18th, we will be in Merchantville, New Jersey for the Toy Con or whatever the fuck. We're going to be selling some toys, selling some comics. Come talk wrestling. Come talk, you know, nerd stuff, whatever. And, you know, you should buy some shit. If you
I'm
want to
say
talk,
bring your wallets.
You can come talk if you want to come talk, but you should buy some shit. Don't be cheap. Make sure to check us out there. And with that being said, let's go to Doug with the news.
All right. Couple of quick programming notes. Next week's Unscripted Wrestling, we're going to be doing SummerSlam 1991.
Okay.
One of my all-time favorite pay-per-views, the wedding of Macho Man and Elizabeth, the jailhouse match between the Boss Man and the Mountie,
yes.
And Ultimate Warrior's last appearance with the WWF for about 8 months. And there's a lot to get into, you know, with that pay-per-view. So that'll be next week. In 2 weeks, we're going to be doing SummerSlam 2000. And then for September, I'm working on some stuff. So just quick programming note there. So in the news this week, and Clint brought up that he wanted to talk about this tonight, but he's not here. But we'll talk about it anyway. So, as everybody knows, last Friday night, there were some NXT talent cuts.
Yes.
Now, according to reports, Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard and John Laurinaitis, so the big dick and his two testicles, got together and they made these cuts. And basically, they're trying to revamp NXT. And they said they don't really want the independent guys anymore. They want younger, bigger talent that they can develop into characters. And one NXT official said, and I quote, NXT will have no more midgets.
Yes. Which is funny because they got rid of Bronson Reed. One of the bigger, you know, threats on the roster.
Yeah, but I think that's also because he's in his 30s.
Yes.
That is a direct quote.
It's a derogatory quote because they're talking about, because NXT has been very successful on a lot of the shorter athletic guys, the Finn Balors, the Adam Coles. It's understandable why they would say that. They should not say that, except in a private boardroom, because I love NXT. It's probably been some of the best programming WWE's put out, but it doesn't draw.
And, right, and it lost the Wednesday Night War, which is why Vince is doing this.
Yes, and I love wrestling fans, but you guys are to blame, because all you guys do is talk shit about how you like this one particular style. WWE gave you this particular style on a night. All you had to do was give them a viewership, and you wouldn't do it. So blame yourself. And I don't care if I get slack for that, because that's the truth. Now, with other news, I don't think a lot of the guys should have got cut. I like Bronson. A couple of the other people I don't really agree with either. But people got to go. There's budget cuts. Wrestling's not doing as well as it used to. They got to save money. They got to find out how to make money. And this is all part of the process. WWE is in a rebuilding period right now. Like you would say, maybe like a football team or something. That's where WWE seems to be at. They're rebuilding. So.
And they're trying to get younger. So I think, and I don't know if this would be successful or not, but I think they're trying to get back to the era of the character.
Yes. I don't know if people want that anymore, but it might be their best bet, because that's their best work is gimmicks and characters.
You know what, though? I would actually give them a chance.
Yeah.
I would probably start watching again if we had more, like, characters.
Well, yeah, because you got two companies right now that both claim to be kind of sports-centric, but really aren't, and still do weird, stupid storylines, both companies. So if they just went back to just being, like, they don't need to go new generation, but if they try to make it a little more gimmicky and more of a show than a wrestling product, people might watch it more.
Right. And here's a funny thing, and we'll get Stevie's take on this in a second. But, like, you have so many companies, you know, still around right now, but the problem is that a lot of them are kind of doing, you know, like the streaming deal. And, like, that's a, that's a big thing, is that, like, you know, not everybody's on, you know, TV right now. But, like, you can catch them. I mean, the unfortunate thing about the NWA, and I think the NWA has a good product, the problem is I can't watch it because I'm not paying, you know, $15-$20 a month for Fight TV. The one streaming service I don't have, and I really don't fucking want it. Stevie, what do you think about all this?
Think about what?
Everything going on, you know, with NXT and them revamping their style and, you know, it possibly becoming the era of the character. Basically, everything we just talked about for, like, the last 5 minutes.
I think it's ridiculous, because I thought NXT, to me, was doing a great job. I just can't understand why they want to change, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why does Vince McMahon want to get involved?
Well, and
I thought they were doing fine.
I didn't think he was supposed to get involved. I thought this was Triple H's thing.
Yeah, so why does Vince have to stick his nose into it? Why can't he just back away? You know?
To be honest with you, Stevie, I don't know.
I thought, like, Triple H was doing a good job running it.
He was. And I think it's just, you know, Vince McMahon feels like he's, you know, he's the guy that runs WWE, so he's got to have his hand in everything.
Right.
And I understand that from a business standpoint, because he does run the company. However, you know, he is getting up there in age. He is getting up there in age.
Yeah.
He is, and it ruins other companies, too. It does.
Yeah.
Because
And not just wrestling, you know, business, Hollywood studios, you know, comic publishers, anything. When you have an owner that has to 100% have his hands in the pot, sometimes it works if his vision's really good. Vince has had a great vision for a long time. He's getting old, though. It's the problem. Now we have ideas that are stuck in the past, and it might be good because he gave Triple H NXT and said, go wild. It didn't result in ratings, but it resulted in a great product. So maybe he does need to have other people just focus on shit, and he needs to take a step back. I don't know if he's doing that. It does not seem like it.
No,
he doesn't,
it doesn't
need to run this thing like he used to. Maybe have other people do certain things and see what happens.
I mean, we'll see what happens. So another little piece of news. It was reported this morning, another wrestling death. Unfortunately, Dominic DiNucci passed away.
Really?
Now, Dominic DiNucci, of course, is a man that trained Mick Foley. He's also a former WWF champion with Dino Bravo. So, rest in peace to him. We've had too many guys broken lately.
I agree. It's better.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Dominic DiNucci. That's sad.
Yeah. So, all right. You want to get into the feud?
Let's do it. Dean Malenko and Chris Jericho, ladies and gentlemen. One of the most underrated feuds of all time, and also one of the greatest WCW feuds of all time. This thing, and I'm going to throw it to you, Stevie, because I want you to tell the viewers, what did this kind of feud mean to you watching it back in the day and even kind of revisiting some of the matches now? How good were Malenko and Chris Jericho together? How was their chemistry?
It's one of the more memorable, most personal, and highly regarded feuds that WCW ever produced during 1998. I mean, but it's seemingly hardly talked about now in this era. So
I agree.
I guess it was very interesting.
And what was cool about it, and to me, this is one of my big takeaways from this feud, before we get into the history and everything. I loved that you gave something new to cruiserweights, and it was a little more story than what the cruiserweights previously had. You have Chris Jericho, who's a great actor, who's a great promo, and he brought a lot of life out of this feud with the straight man Dean Malenko. The matches paid off, and they were great matches, but a lot of people remember the 1001 holds, you know, and him reading off the holds, or when Malenko pretended to be Hoovy, wasn't it? Not Hoovy, someone else?
Cicope.
A lot of those great, I thought the booking in this feud was really done well.
It was, and the funny thing about this rivalry is, like, you would almost think that Malenko would be the better heel,
yeah,
and Jericho would be the babyface. Because that's actually how it kind of started out. Because when they had their first match in WCW against each other in September of '96, September 2nd of '96, by the way, That wasn't actually like their first match in WCW against each other. It was actually on August 28th in Orlando, Florida. I believe may have been a taping. Because if it was in Orlando, then obviously I think it was either a Disney taping or a pro.
Yeah. One of the two.
And Malenko beat him there. And then on August 31st, Jericho got his first victory against Malenko in Utica, New York. And then, of course, in Chattanooga, Tennessee on September 2nd, which was a Nitro, they had a match, and this is the week after Jericho made his TV debut, and he beat Malenko there, and that actually was a really good match, and I'm not sure if we're actually going to do that Nitro yet. I'm kind of torn between that Nitro and the September 9th, 96 Nitro.
Both great options.
Well, yeah, well, because on September 2nd, that's when the Giant joined the NWO. And September 9th, that's when we got the bogus Sting deal.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So we're gonna do one of them. I don't think we're gonna do both.
No.
I just don't know which one we're gonna do yet. I still have 3 weeks.
We'll figure it out.
But yeah, so like that's how it kind of started, and then like, they would work quite a bit together in November of 96. And, like, November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, you know, it was Jericho Malenko with Malenko getting the win each time. And it was usually via roll-up. So they just had really good chemistry from, you know, when they started working together in 96. But that's when, you know, Malenko was kind of a heel and Jericho was, you know, mainly babyface.
Excuse me. And the thing about this feud was that Chris Jericho was the promo, but both guys could work. Every time these guys got in the ring, it felt important. And that was hard for the Cruiserweights because, yes, a lot of people love them. A lot of people love watching the Cruiserweights. But there wasn't a lot of big angles, it felt like, sometimes. Sometimes it was just a one-off match because a lot of the guys couldn't talk because they were from, Japan or Mexico or something. So
right. Well, Mysterio's matches kind of had a storyline to it because you usually had somebody going after his mask.
Yeah, but that's a one-trick pony, too, you know?
Right. Like, you know, the feud he had with Malenko was over the mask. Same thing with Eddie.
Yeah.
You know, they were trying to get the mask off.
But that isn't anything compared to what this feud was. This had everything. And it was cool because what was the main event feud at the time?
In 98?
Yeah.
That's actually when the NWOs were getting ready to split up.
If you put this next to Black and White versus
Red and Black,
what's the better feud?
This? Well, all right, so let's kind of go back here for a second, which, by the way, Clint texted me a few minutes ago. He should be coming on, like, very shortly. Like, if you go back to Slamboree, which is when Malenko dressed up like Cico Pay.
Yeah.
The main event of that pay-per-view was Hall and Nash versus Sting and the Giant for the tag titles. Tag titles, which, by the way, had not been defended in 3 months. And then you had, like, Bret Hart versus Randy Savage with Roddy Piper as the referee. But to me, this was, like, this match was the story of the entire pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah, definitely.
You know, they had the Battle Royal, and then you would think, you know, Juventud Guerrera jumped over the top rope. Nobody could figure out why. And then Cico Pay takes the mask off, and it's Dean Malenko. And Tony Schiavone goes, "That's not Cico Pay." Like, when you can get the announcers to pop like that, you're doing your job.
Yeah, and it's especially the reason I like Jericho, too, and the reason he was so refreshing around this time is that WCW was built on cool heels. Like, you like the Hogans, and you like the Hogan at the time, everyone thought he was a douchebag, but everyone kind of wanted to be like Hogan, too. Everyone kind of wanted to be like Big Sexy, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. They were the cool guys. Chris Jericho was your classic heel here. He was just a fucking bitchy, kind of moan, bitch, groan and moan type of guy. You know, he was always crying out the conspiracy theories and
Him and Eddie Guerrero were two of the best heels around this time.
Yeah. And they were both on the undercard, which says something.
I would say 98, I think the best heel work had been done by Jericho, Guerrero, and I think Raven would probably come in third.
Yeah. I'd probably have to agree with that. There was a lot of stuff within this. I mean, Stevie, who do you think Dean Malenko's best rival was in WCW? Would you go Jericho or somebody else?
I would go Rey Mysterio. I thought that was his best rival in WCW. Because I know they had a few matches back in the day, so I would say that rivalry was very interesting to me.
It's very fair. Now, Doug, would you say that this kind of opened doors for Malenko as a babyface?
I think it's what got him into the Horsemen. Because remember, it was later on in this year that got him, you know, he joined the Four Horsemen. And I really think that this feud kind of set that up. I mean, plus they needed somebody, because Flair wasn't necessarily ready to get back in the ring yet, and Arn couldn't wrestle, and Mongo was just shitty at it, so they needed, like, another wrestling horseman.
Yeah.
And who better than, you know, one of the best wrestlers in the world at that time?
What was his nickname? Besides the Man of a Thousand Holds, or was that it?
The Iceman.
The Iceman, yeah. I was going to say that, but then I was a Chuck Liddell fan. So I don't want them coming for me. But I remember him being the Iceman. This feud did a lot. Let's kind of go towards through the history here. So it kind of came to head at the Battle Royal, right?
Yeah, all right, so he beat Malenko at Uncensored 98. And then Gene Okerlund comes in and calls Dean Malenko a loser. And he goes, where do you go from here? And Malenko goes home. Which, by the way, Malenko left because he had a newborn at home.
Yeah.
His wife had given birth, like, I think Christmas Day. Either Christmas Day or the day after Christmas. And Malenko was actually supposed to have off for that, but too many people were bowing out of their Starrcade matches. So WCW told Malenko, like, look, we can't have any more substitutions. But for the love of God, please just get here.
Right.
Right.
So they had the match at Uncensored. Malenko lost. And then Jericho started the Man of a Thousand Four Holds deal. And actually worked again, or actually beat up Dean's brother Joe. And that's what kind of got all this started. And then did a thing where Jericho kept insulting Dean's late father. He brought out a wrestler named Bore Us Malenko. And Jericho, he was just a dick.
Yeah, I mean, he was damn good at it.
Yeah, and the thing is that it was hard to beat him because once he got... See, there's two different versions of the Boston Crab that he uses. There's the Walls of Jericho where he just sits back on you.
And the Lion Tamer.
And the Lion Tamer where he puts the knee into the head.
Which I prefer.
You could not get out of that Lion Tamer. I think the only person that ever really came close to getting out of the Lion Tamer, and this is sad, is Disco Inferno.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he actually almost got out of it one time. And I was just like, really? I go, out of all the fucking people you could have almost counter this thing, it's Disco?
I like the two guys for a multitude of reasons. Not only were they better with each other, but Stevie, do you think one of these guys should have done a main event type deal after this?
Oh yeah, I think they were like main event material. I mean, if you probably put them in the main event, they probably would have drew money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jericho was kind of ready around this time too.
Yeah, he was definitely ready.
This is when he was coming into his own.
Right.
Yeah.
So look at this, man. I've got the complete list of Jericho book here.
You must have had a sexy man give you that one, huh?
Yeah, it was a birthday gift from a very dear, close, personal, longtime friend of mine, my brother.
Eric's a nice guy.
And so in May of 98, Jericho basically leading up to the pay-per-view worked about worked five nights in a row with Disco. Leading up, and then had a week off, and then worked Malenko. And then the next night on Nitro, actually wrestled like the actual Syncope. No, it's a, I think it was a spam.
Well, fuck them.
All right. So, okay. So anyway, so then let's head on over to June of 98, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
So he does three in a row with Malenko, which he loses. Then get the win on Chavo. Then does three more with Malenko, including that Great American Bash where he won the title back by disqualification. Because the belt got held up because Malenko got tired of Jericho bitching about it, so he just gave the belt up because he's a moron. And, you know, then Malenko went nuts and Jericho won the belt by disqualification. So then they work again about 12 days after the bash where it was apparently it was a house show because he lost to Malenko. Then he does in July, he does 7 in a row with Malenko.
Damn.
Two wins, 5 losses in that 7 period of time. But they were taking this all over the loop. They were going, you know, they started the deal in, you know, in Nevada, then went to California, then the New York City, San Antonio, and then did a Louisiana tour. And then in August, they did a couple more with Malenko winning. And basically by September, he was just working with other guys.
Okay.
But basically, you had like a stretch there where they were working quite a bit against one another.
Yeah. He's, it was a hell of a feud. Both of these guys beat the shit out of each other. What was your favorite moment, Stevie?
My favorite moment. To be honest, I don't have a favorite moment, but, it was, I think them wrestling in the matches was very interesting to watch. So,
okay, absolutely.
I think their match at, even their match at the Great American Bash was even good. You know,
I agree with you. Yeah, it was fantastic. Clinton, welcome to the show. Our good buddy Clinton is calling in. I don't think we have too much left, but I do want to ask you, Clinton, what is your favorite moment in this feud, Dean Malenko and Chris Jericho in WCW? What, if you had to pick one specific moment, what's your favorite one?
I'll say it this way. The feud itself was okay. Like, I wasn't a big fan of it. I was never a big fan of, like, the big cruiserweights of WCW at the time. So I'm going to be Point Blank, so I wasn't really a big I have to watch Chris Jericho, Demon Link. The Cruiserweights really wasn't the eye candy, but the matches were okay. I don't have a favorite moment. The matches were okay. I was more into, like, the heavyweights titles. But the Cruiser, some matches they did put on, I think the Great American Bash, the Slammery, I think it was one of them. It had to be one of my favorites. So.
All right, so to add a little bit more, too, I mean, I went back into the 1997 part of the book here.
Yeah.
They did about, in March of 97, they did 4 matches in a row with Malenko winning every one of them. He was the U.S. champion at the time, so.
Was Jericho still heel or no?
No, Jericho was babyface. And Malenko was kind of in between. And then they did a Nitro together where Malenko beat him by kicking him in the jaw, kicking him in the head and actually, like, almost dislocating his jaw. Like, no, that actually, like, go back and watch that, and you'll see that, like, Jericho basically had to move his jaw around a couple of times.
Now, But speaking of that, I do remember watching one Nitro, because I was, like, trying to do a little bit of studying, which is kind of hard to do. But one Nitro, when you beat him in, like, under 6 minutes on a Nitro, I think that had to be, like, one of the worst matches. I picked to tell you was probably that one.
Was that April of 97?
I think so. He was a U.S.
Okay,
champion
yeah, so
at
the
time.
The one where that's where he beat him with the kick to the head.
Yeah.
So, but, like, here's the thing about Malenko and Jericho, and, you know, Dan, you did touch on this. This match, you know, this feud, obviously, it kind of gave, like, a second dimension to, like, you know, it being more about than just the title.
Yeah. With the athleticism and stuff.
Right. And the Cruiserweight title really didn't have a lot of that. I mean, this, you know, whenever everybody was trying to, like, pick on Mysterio or whatever, then, yeah, you know, you got that.
Yeah.
But you didn't have, like, a genuine story, really, where both guys are going back and forth. I mean, it was more Jericho, but Malenko being the straight man was important, too. Then this felt like more of an angle, like a real storyline, not right. Just two guys wrestling every night. Yeah, not two guys wrestling every night for just the title, but there was a story here. And I think that's important to add that, like, yes, the title is good, but you need more of a story, too. And then I always found that to actually be a problem with the TV title, too.
Yeah.
They
were just matches.
Yeah, they were just matches. And I think, like, you know, the TV title was a big part of it. That was a big problem for the TV title. Obviously, the Cruiserweight title. I mean, the U.S. title usually had pretty good, like, personal issues.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, yes, the world title had pretty big personal issues.
It weren't always good, but yeah.
But this feud, to me, like, if you were to kind of rank, like, the feuds of WCW in 98... this, to me, I think would be a top five.
Yeah.
The only ones I could really see beating it out were, you know, Goldberg in the NWO, Flair and Bischoff, because that would have to be, because that was a real, like, personal beat.
DDP.
Huh?
You had to add DDP and Diamond Eyes DDP and Macho Man.
Well, that was 97. I'm talking just like 98. But you are right, though. Like, DDP and Macho Man is probably one of the better feuds in WCW, like, period. But, like, also, like, you know, Raven and Saturn, they had a good feud in WCW in 98. But Malenko and Jericho, for me, that's just like, because, again, the emotion, especially of him winning the Cruiserweight title at Slamboree, like, the pure emotion there.
Yeah.
And the match actually was really good. Probably one of the better matches on that card.
that's the thing, and I think that's what WCW lacked at a lot of spots, where a lot of the world title feuds were really good build-up, really good stories, but the execution wasn't always quite there, whether Hogan was too old or, you know, Goldberg was green or, like, some guy couldn't go. Or the main event never really, like, it brought you there, but you stayed for the cruiserweight. Now,
you were there for the undercard.
You were there for the underdog. Or not the underdog, the undercard. You stayed to watch them. They might have brought you to the building, but the 10 minutes you got wasn't always great. Now, this is one of those feuds where the build-up was phenomenal, but the matches paid off well. But that's important.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that, like, Jericho, because I actually think Jericho was actually writing his own stuff. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, he was, yeah.
And he just, you know, he's the one that came up with it. He came up with the Man of 1,004 Holds, which, by the way, have you guys ever seen that Nitro?
Oh, it's hilarious.
I did remember watching it a while ago. And he had to cut to a commercial break. And then he was like,
see, that was
going
to be
back.
My favorite moment, because I loved how they went to commercial and came back. And he was
yeah,
still
and
going.
He was still, like, and he said armbar, like, 10 times.
Yeah.
And, like, he did that. Off the top of your head, does anybody remember who he beat that night before he went through the promo?
No.
Marty Jannetty.
Oh, yeah.
And it was funny because he had, as soon as he locked Marty Jannetty in the Lion Tamer, he had just put his knee on Jannetty's head when Jannetty tapped out. Like, Jannetty tapped out right away. He's like, I ain't fucking doing this. But then that actually set up the title match between Jericho and Prince Iaukea.
Yeah.
Who was another Malenko student. So, you know, that. So, like, that really just, like, Jericho's promos, especially about, like, you know, about Boris Malenko, that really set up not just the Malenko feud, but, you know, that set up quite a few of his matches.
Yeah.
And, but, yeah, no, like, that was freaking hilarious because, and Jericho has even talked about it. Like, he just stayed in the ring. Like, throughout the commercial break, he didn't say anything. They cut to commercial. He stopped talking. They said, all right, we're coming back on, so he started again. But he forgot where he left off, so he said armbar again. It was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it was great. And that's the thing. He wasn't a cool heel, but he was funny. But you still wanted to see him get his face chewed off. And you thought Malenko's the guy to do it, right? Badass. Certified. So the two complemented each other very well.
Yeah. Okay, so personally for me, right?
Yeah.
When Jericho first came in, I was a huge Jericho fan. Like, I kind of liked, like, the theme music and all that.
Yeah.
So I rooted for Jericho. He turns heel. Well, first of all, he got that other theme music that I didn't like.
Okay.
So then he turns heel. I could not wait for somebody to beat the shit out of this motherfucker. Because
yeah.
I knew it was going to happen because, like, he barely won when he was a babyface. So, because I'm starting to, like, kind of, like, get it in my head. It's like, okay, well, he sucks. He lost all the time when he was a good guy. So he's going to get the shit beat out of him as a bad guy.
Ugh.
He somehow always found a fucking way to win. And that irritated the hell out of me.
That means you're doing your job, Jess.
Exactly. And, like, but, you know, at 12 years old, I really didn't understand it. I mean, I was starting to understand it.
That's the beauty of it, though. Because he was doing his job. He was making you want to see him get his ass kicked, which is what a good heel is there to do.
Yeah. Every time, you know, because Papa would call with the results. Or no, I would call him every Tuesday after school to get the results for Nitro. And I'd be like, hey, did Jericho wrestle? He goes, yeah. I said, well, did he finally get his ass kicked? He goes, fuck no.
Now, do you guys feel bad for Jericho that after this he kind of went to the Goldberg thing and then didn't really want anything to do with it?
I think he tried to make it work.
Yeah, but no one else wanted it to work.
Right. Well, Goldberg didn't want it to work. I knew that they still wanted to push him heavy when 2 days after he lost the Cruiserweight title at Road Wild, they gave him the TV title right away.
They beat Booker.
Stevie.
Okay.
But they gave him the TV title right away, so it's just like, oh, my God, we're never going to get rid of this motherfucker.
They did, though, eventually.
Well, yeah. See, I didn't know that, though. I figured, I'm like, oh, my God, within a year, this asshole's going to be world champion.
Which, if the booking was good, he would have been.
All right, so you got to look at it, though, like, around this time, because, you know, you've heard of, like, the top 12 guys or whatever in the company, right?
Yeah.
You had Hogan, Goldberg, Nash, Page, Scott Hall when he was sober, Randy,
Sting,
Luger, for some reason they counted Booker as a main event guy, Ric Flair. Like, those were, like, the main guy, Bret Hart. Those were the main guys they really built the TV around. And the other guys were just there to kind of, like, cushion, you know, like, them in.
Have good matches.
Yeah. Because, to be honest with you, out of that whole list of guys that I named, in 98, the only one that could really work was Booker. You know, Flair was getting up there. Luger was never a great worker to begin with, and in 98, he was just, I mean, he was still, he had good matches with the right people. And Sting was the same way. Diamond Dallas Page, you know, is a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was just like, I don't know. I just, yeah, we can do. I mean, does anybody else have anything on this, you know, before we give the final thoughts?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Final thoughts on this feud. I'm going to start with you, Quinn. I know you just asked if you had anything, but if you had to just kind of put your stamp on it, maybe rate the feud and just talk final memories of the feud.
Okay, so I didn't really get a chance to, like, go over any, like, hard studying this week.
Okay.
But, so I can't really have, like, a final thoughts because it wouldn't be fair for me to just write off of one match I got a chance to watch.
Yeah.
Okay.
But.
Real quick, though, Clemens, I do want to let you know that next Friday night we're going to be doing SummerSlam 91.
Yeah, I'm working next Friday night, so
okay.
I'll be able to, yeah.
All right. Stevie, what's your final thoughts on this feud?
Actually, you know, I don't have a final thought, but I thought from watching these two men wrestle, I thought it was one of the most enjoyable matches I've seen, so I'm just going to put it at that.
All right. My final thoughts would be that this is one of the most important and most underrated feuds in WCW history. I thought it made people see the Cruiserweights in a new light, which they deserved to be seen in. I thought it gave valuable TV time to two of the greatest workers in the company and one of the better promos in wrestling as a whole. And this, to me, this is what set Chris Jericho on the jetpack. And this is what put the jetpack on his back. And you know, we're still talking about him at AEW. So, and Dean's there too, training people. So both of these guys are legends. This is one of both of these guys' best feuds. And everything about this feud, people should go back and check it out, from the 1,004 holds to the CPA stuff to everything. They should just go back and check out this feud because it's a fun one to watch.
If you're going to check out anything, check out Slammery 98.
Yeah.
I mean, fast forward through all the, like, bullshit first.
Yeah.
And then get to this match, and then you can actually turn it off, like, right after. But as far as, like, I'm concerned, my final thoughts on this, you know, back in 98, you had 3 hours of Nitro, 2 hours of Thunder, 2 hours Saturday night. And this feud actually got broadcast on, like, all three of those programs. So 7 hours a week, no, was their, like, main, like, TV.
Yeah.
And these two guys were able to fill a segment or two on each of those programs.
Plus, how talented they both are.
Yeah, and it also shows that, like, you know, that they're actually willing to work all three shows.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ, back in those days, you could barely get Hogan to work one. But my final thoughts are that I like both guys. I respect both guys for what they were able to do and the fact that this feud gave layers to both of their characters. And I think that's even what's missing today is that you don't have layers to a character. And hopefully, you know, if they rebrand everything like they say they're gonna, you know, this is what we're going to, you know, hopefully we can get another feud like this again.
Yeah.
But, no, this was actually, like, to me, this was actually, like, one of the funnest things to watch in WCW 98. As long as Jericho got his ass beat.
I agree. And we'll definitely be doing more of these. These are fun. We'll be hit another rivalry very soon. There's a couple that I'd really like to get into.
We'll have the board meeting later.
Yeah. With that being said, we will see everybody next week. Clinton and Steve, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll see everybody next time.
All right.
See you next week.
See you guys.